This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Cookies and nuts. When I was talking to my dad this week, he updated me on some family news. Well, the old barn fell down. The old barn was the oldest of the two barns out at my grandmother's house out in rural Nebraska, just a little acreage tucked away in the country, surrounded on all sides by cornfields. The old barn was rickety and broken, even 30 years ago, when I was growing up and just a kid. It was full of everything, cluttered with old junk, broken machinery, animal cages, old Coke bottles, all sorts of things. We'd climb around in there and just explore and see what treasure we could find in the garbage. It was old and cluttered and mostly junk. Kind of like the inside of my grandmother's house, to be honest. Old and cluttered and mostly junk. But around this time every year, my Grandma Phillips would get us together. Well, actually, you know, I never participated. She would get my sister together and some of my other cousins, and they'd bake. They'd bake Christmas cookies. I don't know why I never participated, why I never had an appetite for the baking part of the process. But they'd get together and spend at least a day every year where they just make cookies after cookies after cookies. Variety upon variety upon variety. Thumb cookies and Buckeyes and sugar cookies and cutouts and a whole bunch of cookies whose names they knew, but I never knew. I just knew that when I'd go over there on Christmas, the platters would be out, the special platters that you didn't see the rest of the year, and they'd be full of cookies, a whole variety of cookies, cookies that I never bothered to learn the names of. I just ate. The cookie platter announced every year that Jesus is here. You go in, and I don't remember really the old cluttered mostly junk insides of her house. I remember the cookies. John's disciples go to Jesus, and Jesus says to them, well, what do you hear? What do you see? When they come out to hear him to ask the question that John asks, are you the one who is to come, or are we still waiting for another? Jesus points their gaze to those around him, to his surroundings. And his surroundings are full of what the world considered to be mostly junk. People who really didn't have the inside track on society. People who were cast aside, disabled in a world where manual labor was what defined you as a person. You either worked hard or you begged for every crust of bread that you had. They were poor, kind of like my grandmother was poor. And yet, in the midst of that, Jesus points out their joy. He points out what's going on. And that what's going on is that even though they are disabled, even though they have these hard circumstances, even though they do not have the wealth of the world, there is joy afoot. The cookie platters are out in the midst of it all. It's the same thing that Ebenezer Scrooge discovers when he visits Bob Cratchit's house with the ghost of Christmas present. And when he visits the families of others, so many others who have so much less than he could ever stand to have, and yet also so much more than he could believe was ever possible. There was a celebration in the midst of their poverty, a celebration and a joy that seemed incongruous with its surroundings. Something was already here. Jesus was here already. Jesus is here already. Jesus is the party in the midst of poverty. Jesus is the one who liberates us and frees us to feel joy and be joy and bring joy in the midst of any circumstance that we face. The joyful cookie platter is made. It's made by somebody else, and it's ready for you. John's disciples had their answer. Jesus is here. And yet, when they return to John to relay that news, John remains imprisoned. He remained imprisoned until his death. It was not a great death. Maybe the death of a martyr, great in some ways, but to be killed at the whims of a young child leaves a lot to be desired. There was something that was not yet about this presence. Nuts. You know, at my grandma's house, next to the platters of cookies was always a tray of nuts. They were unshelled. There was a nutcracker and a nut pick there next to them. The nuts were easy for my grandmother to put out. They required very little work. My grandma and grandpa would just have to purchase the nuts, find the nutcrackers and the tools, and set them out. Of course, cookies are a lot easier to eat than nuts. You got to dig for the nuts. You need tools for the nuts, specially crafted ones that can break through the thick shells and dig out the kernels inside. And yet these nuts were just as much a sign of Christmas for me and my family as the beautiful platters of ready-to-eat cookies. If you've ever received an email from me, you might have noticed in the signature line, I have a quote. There's an old African proverb that I heard from one of my professors, and it's stuck with me ever since. God gives you the nut, but does not crack it. God gives you the nut, does not crack it. The nut is a gift of joy deferred. The nut is the not yet, but also surely present. It's there, it's just hidden away a little bit. The nut is the Jesus who is coming. Like the kernel inside the nut, Jesus' presence is masked and delayed by the work we have yet to do. And dear people, there are so many nuts to crack. Sheltering the unsheltered, for instance. In the last weeks, there's been some conversation among our Families Moving Forward team about Beacon Interfaith and some decisions that they're making about their strategy for moving ahead with doing this work of sheltering the unsheltered. Strategy that changes some things. There's nourishing the undernourished. Every week, day here at Christ the King, we have folks gather together to help with loaves and fishes, to cook and prepare and give out meals to anyone who's hungry. And down the block, not far, is Veep. And they're saying they've seen more need now than they have ever before. It seems every year brings more and more need. There are so many nuts to crack before we really get to Jesus. It takes something yet for that old Scrooge to truly feel Christmas. After his journeys with the ghosts, he wakes up that morning and he feels a change, but he doesn't quite feel it yet. It still takes some work, generosity, and time that is spent. It takes patience and perseverance and digging in to some of the hard things that we're called to do, to give up of ourselves for the sake of others. As James would remind us this morning, it takes work. One of the things that James is famous for telling us in his letter is that faith without works is dead. He writes in the second chapter of his letter, "If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." And the joy of Christmas, the presence of Jesus, if it has no true generosity, is a nut left uncracked. Our kids last night got together and baked a bunch of cookies. And you're invited to take some home today to taste and enjoy and relish in the presence of Jesus that is with you now. They're the cookies of another. Somebody else did the hard work and they are ready for you. But the cookies of another are incomplete without the nuts we're meant to work at. Cookies and nuts. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming. Let's work at it. Amen.
Awake, awake, and greet the new morn, for angels herald its dawning. Sing out your joy, for soon he is born, behold the child of our longing. Come as a baby weak and poor to bring our hearts. singing. His humble song is quiet and near, yet fills the earth with its ring. Come as a little broken soul and hymns of loving kindness. The thunder of his anthems roll to shatter all hatred and blindness. In darkest night his coming shall be, when all the world is despairing. As morning light, so quiet and free, so warm and gentle and caring. Then shall the mute break forth in song, the lame shall leap in wonder. The weak he raised above the strong, and weapons be broken asunder. Rejoice, rejoice, take heart in the night, the dark, the winter and chills. The rising sun shall crown you with light, be strong and loving and fearless. Love be a song and love.